This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Tisha Ik with Julie Jacobs. Today we have one story for you.
Yes, so it is International Nurses Day today. So we are celebrating the, sometimes overworked, underpaid and maybe a little bit underappreciated, yes. Frontliners. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be looking, discussing some of their struggles and celebrating their efforts today. So as always, if you have any comments, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Let us know, about nurses in your lives or, how much they've come to help you through whatever time,
True. I'm sure all of us have come into contact with a nurse before. Definitely. And they've cared for us.
Yeah. That's right. So every year since 1974, International Nurses Day is celebrated around the world, specifically on the 12th of May, to highlight the importance of nurses in the healthcare system and to thank them for their services. So the reason the 12th of May is chosen is because it's actually the birthday of Florence Nightingale, who was a British social reformer, statistician and the founder of modern nursing.
So International Nurses Day is an important day every year, but this year feels particularly special. For one, it marks the 200th anniversary of the birth of Florence Nightingale. And this is also the year where nurses have really been working in overdrive, haven't they? They've been serving tirelessly on the front lines, even sacrificing their own health in some cases in the ongoing battle against the COVID-19 pandemic. And so to commemorate the efforts of nurses all over the world, the World Health Organization, or WHO, has declared 2020 as International Year of the Nurse and the Midwife with the theme Nursing the World to Health. That's really fitting, isn't
it? It's really lovely. It's nice that they're giving that acknowledgement. And, in conjunction with that, in Malaysia, red lights illuminated the Penang Tun Abdul Razak complex, or Komta, last night as a sign of appreciation for nurses' sacrifices and in fighting the COVID-19 pandemic, of course. A very, very lovely gesture. Yes. And nurses don't always get the recognition that they deserve, as we said earlier. And I think, most of us know that nurses play a very important role, but we may not actually think about it actively since they're not quite often in the spotlight as such, right? Mm-hmm. But these past few months have made clear just how integral nurses are in the healthcare system. Nurses are the first ones to march into battle as such. They're the ones who provide you with the initial assessment. They're the ones who take care of you throughout your admission in a hospital as well.
Yes, they are the ones you see the most. I think you see the doctor when he comes for his rounds, perhaps once a day at most. Yeah. It's the nurses who come to you the moment you press that button.
Exactly. Checking your temperature, checking that you're doing well, anything you need, they're the ones to help you.
Yeah. And contrary to popular belief, nurses don't just provide assessments and medications, especially during times of global health crisis. In an interview with the China Global Television Network, or CGTN, Wang Lizhu, a head ICU nurse who works in Wuhan, said that since COVID-19 is an infectious disease, a lot of the time patients' families are not allowed to accompany them, even during their final moments, very sadly. Yeah. So it's the nurses who play this role instead. They provide the emotional and psychological support to the patients. They talk to these patients, they hold their hands, they offer words of comfort to make them feel like they're not alone. And I think that's a role that many of us don't think about.
Yeah, and I've been reading so many articles about, because you cannot be with your family members in their last moments, right?
Yes.
And so many nurses are, bridging that gap by holding that camera phone for the families, and being that bridge to communicate with the patients when the family members can't be
helping
with them
to connect. Yeah,
that's going way above and beyond their call of duty.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Mm. Yeah. So, but what better way to understand the life of a nurse, especially during these trying times, than to speak to one? So we have with us on the line Sri Teyashaini Nahasharam, who is a staff nurse at University Malaya Medical Center. Sri, hello. Thank you for joining us. Maybe just to start off with, can you tell us what inspired you to take up nursing in the first place?
So I got inspired after watching the videos of tsunami victims died back in 2004. Mm-hmm. Like their bodies were dumped just like that, no proper graveyard to bury them. So that made me to think that life is too short. And at that moment, I promised to myself that I want to do something for the society. And when I die, I must die in peace knowing that I have helped many. So that made me to become a nurse today.
And do you work at a particular clinic?
Yeah, I work in a cardiothoracic ICU. So we prepare patients for heart and lung surgeries, provide post-operative care till they become stable and transfer them back to the ward.
What is the typical day in the life of a nurse at UMMC?
Okay, a typical day would be like we go to work, we prepare medicine, and then we follow doctors around. Then we do dressing, send patients for surgeries or any procedures. Then feed the patients, turn the patients if necessary, and yeah, and we come back and we build a good communication. We build a rapport with them. Yeah.
So for you, what has been the most fulfilling aspect about being a nurse?
So being a nurse is like you get to care for a stranger just like a mother with lots of passion, and we don't expect anything in return for the genuine love shared. And I see every patient of mine like my own kids. So that makes me to keep going.
And given our current climate, we have to talk about the COVID-19 pandemic, of course. So can you tell us how did UMMC prepare for it, especially being one of the main hospitals receiving COVID-19 patients in the country?
So when the number of COVID cases were rising in China, my hospital started clearing the beds, stopped taking elective admissions for surgeries, and all the elective surgeries were all postponed. And most of the wards were cleared to accommodate COVID patients. So those who came into emergency were stabilized and transferred to a non-COVID hospital. So I would like to say that we planned ahead on the staffing and beds before the pandemic hit hard on us.
That's great. And how are the days at work now and over the past couple of months? How are they different now from before the COVID-19 outbreak?
Before the COVID-19 outbreak, it was like a normal day, like a routine will be like preparing patients and before and after, and then give them some health education. No, but ever since the COVID-19 outbreak, the cardiothoracic ICU was started functioning as a part of COVID ICU. Mm. Prior to that, we actually transferred our cardiac patient out to a cardiology ward, stopped taking new admissions and postponed all the elective heart and lung surgeries. So in the COVID ICUs, we were mainly treating those patients contracted with the COVID who has respiratory distress and require an ICU care. When we enter a COVID patient's room, it should be only with a full PPE which covers the head to toe. And we were all given ad hoc training on that. We enter the isolation room with a clean scrub suit, and when we come out, it will be completely wet with sweat. So N95 mask is safe to be worn only after 4 hours. So we have to really plan well before entering the room. We cannot be simply going in and out. And communication was tough initially, and luckily we were all provided with a walkie-talkie after that. So it made the communication between the nurses and doctors easy, where the doctors will be giving the instruction from the glass doors if needed. Mm-hmm. And currently, since the MOH have started doing early screening, the number of COVID cases who need ICU beds are reducing. So we are kind of going back to the routine where we have slowly started functioning as a cardiothoracic ICU.
That's great. But, you know, what keeps you going, you know, during the days that are especially challenging for you?
To be frank, it was really tough for me where I felt like going to a war zone every day, because the chances of not contracting the disease was tiny if I don't follow the precaution measures. I've cried like many times. I took a lot of measures, like I trimmed my hair, which was very precious to me. I developed eczema in my hand due to the frequent usage of the hand sanitizers. I have to like hand rub twice while wearing my PPE and 7 times while removing the PPE. I also have to shower immediately each time I come out of the isolation room in order not to contract the disease. But fortunately, I managed to overcome all my fears and worries for the disease with a great teamwork, support from my family and friends, and the NGO who supplied food and donated PPE for us. So a big thank you to all of them.
Just speaking about family, you know, do you actually live with family and friends? If so, do you feel worried for them?
Luckily, I stay alone at my own place, so there were no issues for me. But of course, there were definitely cases where people treated me a bit different. But yeah, I don't want to talk too much into that because it's all good now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah. there were some people who I suppose were maybe a bit afraid or hesitant to be around you.
Yes, actually, most of them, apart from the one in my nursing career and doctors.
You know, would you have a message to fellow nurses who are serving on the front lines?
Yes, so to all the frontliners, guys, you are doing a great job right now despite of the fasting month and all. And I understand that some of you had to stay away from family, husband and kids. Remember, the whole world is praying for us to stay safe all the time. So please be strong and together we fight this pandemic. Also, I would like to add that this year, the theme for the Nurses Week is that a voice to lead, nursing the world to help, which demonstrate how nurses are central to addressing a wide range of health challenges. And we will always do our best part to uphold that.
Thank you so much for speaking to us. That was Sri Teshaini Nahasram, a staff nurse at University Malaya Medical Center, sharing how work has... It sounds intense.
And crazy.
They're going through so much. And to really hear it put into words, what she goes through every time she puts on the PPE, being drenched in sweat, and the small things we don't think about.
Yeah.
How she's battling eczema on her hands now because she has to sanitize her hands so many times.
Yeah, and you know, the simplest thing, you know, communication is so difficult, you know. And it's just like all the different challenges that just came with this pandemic as well,
That's right.
And everything that they expected to perform, you know, optimally despite everything that's happening to them. Amazing people, definitely.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, nurses account for more than half of the world's health workers. Yet, there is an urgent shortage of nurses worldwide with 5.9 million more nurses still needed, especially in low and middle-income countries. Many experts around the world have attributed the shortage of nurses to poor salary schemes. According to The Atlantic, registered nurses in the US make less than $72,000 annually at the median, while home health and personal care aides earn merely $24,000 a year, and 25% of home care workers are uninsured.
Unfortunately, Malaysia is no different. So at a nursing conference back in 2016, University Malaysia Sarawak, or Uni Masters, Head of Nursing Department, Associate Professor Dr. Zabida Putit, said that the nursing profession was not given the same importance as the doctors. While doctors get paid salaries that are equivalent to their educational qualifications, nurses only get paid the wage of a diploma holder, even if they may hold a degree. So this means that many nurses get paid a basic salary of less than 2,000 ringgit a month, and that's really sad.
That's terrible.
Especially because, you know, I know there are nurses who seek to improve themselves professionally, who, you know, pursue degrees, some even pursue master's degrees, you know, and for that to not be recognized, I think it's a travesty, it's a real shame.
That's right, and I think hopefully this would make people, you know, the policies change perhaps, or, you know, there will be some, like I know in Canada, for example, if I'm not mistaken, the government will actually provide something like $3 billion in support for to help supply the income, to increase the wages of low-income essential workers. You know, that's something that was just announced.
During this pandemic?
Yes, they just announced it like a few days ago, and they're going to do that, you know, moving forward as well. So that's I think that's a wonderful thing.
So I guess what we have now is the special allowance. I think it's 400 ringgit. And 200 ringgit for the frontline workers that was announced by the PM a few weeks ago as part of some measures to help them during this pandemic.
That's right.
But I think long-term policy changes really need to be looked at. The nurses have been sort of asking for greater recognition for a long time. Maybe this is something, sad as it is, it's something like this that will catalyze people to realize that we can't neglect this particular profession.
Definitely. Mm. You know, even in India, you know, things appear to be even far worse. For example, in 2019, there was a suicide attempt by a nurse working at Telangana, which sent shockwaves around the country. The incident, you know, kind of shed light on the condition of nurses across, you know, all the government hospitals in the state. This was according to the New Indian Express. They said that incredibly low wages, no scope of promotion, and a lack of recruitment has led to a 50% shortage of nurses, which of course then turn, you know, causes an increase in workload and unstable working hours for those who are already in the industry.
I mean, I think it's safe to say that all over the world, nurses are overworked, underpaid, and somewhat underappreciated, though we hope that will change. So to mark International Nurses Day, the World Health Organization urges countries to ensure at least the following, so that the occupational safety and health of nurses and all health workers, including most notably unhindered access to personal protective equipment, so that they can safely provide care and reduce infections in healthcare settings. The WHO also urges countries to ensure that nurses and all healthcare workers have access to mental health support, timely pay, sick leave and insurance, as well as access to the most up-to-date knowledge and guidance required to respond to all health needs, including outbreaks. And finally, that nurses should be given the financial support and other resources required to help respond to and control COVID-19 and future outbreaks as well.
Yes, and in a statement, the WHO also said, quote, by developing their nursing workforces, countries can achieve the triple impact of improving health, promoting gender equality, and supporting economic growth.
And on health and living, we've done a couple of shows focusing on the nursing profession in Malaysia as well. So last year, we spoke to the head nurse of a hospital here in Klang Valley for International Nurses Day, and she also gave some really insightful sharing about what nurses need in terms of their training and how, what to improve their profession. And we've also, in fact, talked to the top nurse in the country, the director of the nursing division, Puan Haja Tomblong Adiran, and she gave a lot of insight in terms of the kinds of policies around the nursing profession in the country and where the gaps are. So do check those shows out. You can search for the podcast on our website or on our Google app. Sorry, or on our BFM app. Before we leave you, I think both Julia and I would definitely like to take this opportunity to thank all the nurses for their service, their kindness, and I think really your unwavering spirit to serve. Even though I think many of us don't even say thank you to you most of the time. So here's our the opportunity that we would like to take to say thank you and to wish you all happy International Nurses Day. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for the show today. If you'd like to share any thoughts with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or send us a message on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news, on Front Row, Sharmila Gunnison will be doing a the first part of an arts checkup. She'll be speaking to three people from the performing arts sector, choreographer Joseph Gonzalez, Junyi Ma from Reform Artsy, and Pauline Fan from Pusaka, to find out how cultural workers have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, we'll leave you now with the Rembrandts with I'll Be There For You, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.